ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
What up, H-Town? It's Tuesday. It's Joel and Barry along with Nick behind the glass as we continue on another week in, well, shall we say, the greatest city in America, and as we continue to kick it, talking about the Houston Texans, talking about that big loss to the Green Bay Packers, talking about where they go from here, why Charles James is a scapegoat. My partner's going to have plenty to say about all that as Barry is in studio and ready to go.
What's up, man?
What's up, man?
How are you?
Good. I'm hanging in there.
I see you're, you sound better. You don't look any better.
No, I feel better, but the voice is still tinkering. So my man Raj just brought in my hot tea with honey, so I'm going to try and get the pipes back.
How do you get all these people waiting on you hand and foot like this? You got Esme bringing you the tea.
Yeah.
You got Raj bringing
it's a concept
in
you should work on. When you're a likable fellow, people seem to go out of their way for you, and I appreciate that.
That seems overrated to me.
Yeah, see, that there in a nutshell is where we have the issues.
Four years. I don't get that confirmed.
We're good to go. I want to get your thoughts on what happened last weekend. We talked about a lot yesterday, the Texans, and we also talked about the final college football rankings. And are you good with it? Travis was not good with it. He started out saying he was, then he wasn't. His biggest point of contention is obviously what everybody else talked about, which you and I talked about last week, which is, if Penn State beat Wisconsin, they would be in a position to screw the committee over because of the fact that there's no criteria made public, but if the criteria is indeed to win the conference, that Penn State should be in, Ohio State should be out, and as I talked about with you, as long as they kept Ohio State at 2, they were always going to be in it, regardless. If they were tinkering at 4 and then Penn State got in, then they were on the fence, but the committee obviously had a very, very high opinion of Ohio State.
Here's my thought. I think they got it right. I think that the order, I don't know necessarily matters at 2 or 3 because it doesn't change the matchup. And as long as Ohio State and Clemson are playing each other, then I think it's okay. But the reason why I think they got it right is there's one thing that all the top four teams have in common that the teams from 5 down don't. Other than Western Michigan, and that is that none of those teams have lost more than one game. And so people, you can talk all you want about Penn State winning the Big Ten, and it, believe me, it should matter, and it does, but the fact of the matter is they lost an out-of-conference game to Pitt, which doesn't factor into them playing for the Big Ten title. And we talked about this on Sunday, and Shock brought it up, and I think it's a valid point, because if you step back and look at it in that regard, then everybody that's left in the top four other than Western Michigan, which was never going to get there to begin with,
right,
has only lost one game all year other than Alabama, who didn't lose any. So I can't really argue with that. I mean, these are the last four teams that have lost one game or less. I don't know how you'd argue with that.
Way you argue it is the fact that we went back just a couple years when the TCU-Baylor thing happened and both teams thought that they were going to be in the mix, and there was no conference championship game at the time. There was only 10 teams in the conference, but they didn't have a conference championship. And the argument why they kept, I believe, TCU out was the fact that there is no conference championship, so they didn't win their conference. If you don't win your conference, then you can't be considered for the final BCS rankings or whatever.
But winning a conference isn't the only thing.
Not the
that
only,
factors
but
in.
They made it seem as if it was a overriding factor in the decision-making process, and now it's obviously not.
What were their records, though?
Oh, they were both top. I mean, they were both right
on the cusp.
I don't
remember. What year was it? I'm going to pull it up.
It was 2 years ago.
So it was 2014?
Yeah, I think it was 2014. 13 to 14. But anyway, that's where Travis and I went back and forth because of the fact that, look, I think they got it right, too. I think at the end of the day, I've always been a proponent of Ohio State because I've seen them play a lot in the Big Ten. Wisconsin lost to him in overtime. But I think that in terms of teams that are going to give Alabama a game, I think that it's going to – I hope no one gets hurt, but I think it's going to be tough because the two best teams that really have a chance to beat Alabama, or I should say at least compete with Alabama, are playing in Clemson and Ohio State.
Yeah, I agree. I heard yesterday driving around, I heard AJ and Fred say they felt – well, AJ, I know, felt Washington had the best – shot at beating Alabama because it's something that Alabama hasn't seen or isn't used to, which I thought was interesting, but I don't agree with because I think top to bottom and as far as depth goes and quality of player, I think by far Ohio State has the talent to compete with Alabama.
But I will say this.
On both sides of the ball.
I will say this. Uh-huh. The reason why I can see AJ's point is when Coach Peterson was at Boise State, we all remember what he did to Oklahoma. In the Orange Bowl,
sure.
I don't think it was the Orange Bowl, but it was the Fiesta Bowl, with the Statue of Liberty play, with pulling out all the stops, and being able to execute every single gadget play that they put out there. He's one of those loose cannons in a good way that can completely bring things at you haven't seen and aren't expecting. And from that standpoint, I think he can catch Alabama off guard to some degree, but I think from a talent level basis, I don't think that Washington even comes close to what Clemson and Ohio State have. And then from a ranking standpoint with the conferences that they come from and the opponents that they've played throughout the year, I don't think Washington, again, and I've told this to you before, I just don't believe in their schedule as being very strong. So, and it's not really their fault. It's teams that we thought were good at the start of the year are not. Although USC came on and was a better team than people thought at the end of the year. I just think top to bottom, the Pac-10 wasn't even close to the Big Ten and the ACC. And for that reason, I'm not a big fan of their schedule. But again, you play the games. They won the games they were supposed to win. And I think that they got it right.
Yeah. And the thing is, again, you go back to the one loss that Washington had was against a highly ranked USC team. And the two losses that Penn State had, one of them was to Pitt. And so I think that ultimately
that loss definitely hurts.
That stings. Yeah. And that was early, don't get me wrong. It was their second game of the season. But then, you know, a couple games later, they lose to Michigan, and they haven't lost since. But look at how Washington closed now. So, granted, Penn State beat number 6 Wisconsin, which, by the way, you okay? I told you.
I expected. I don't want to say I expected it.
I thought you might have like hung yourself
Travis
on
asked,
air yesterday.
Travis asked me the same thing, and he kept saying throughout the rest of the weekend, "Are you good, bro?" And I said, "Look, I went and talked to Salisbury on Friday after the show because I wanted to know why everybody was so convinced Penn State was going to run away with this thing." And then at the same time, he made me feel better thinking Wisconsin was not only going to be in the game, he thought Wisconsin was going to blitz them. And I said, "Look, I'll take a good game. But I didn't expect the Wisconsin offense, again, as I've said all year long, their passing game is ridiculous. But when they get up that big, 28-7, and they look like their defense was in complete control, to completely lay an egg, and I tweeted the second half, when you can't cover a sleeping baby on a cold night, let alone the guys that he's just... Because look, he's a good quarterback, but he was just throwing them up there, and his guys were running underneath them.
Yeah.
You don't deserve to win. So I'm fine with it. I mean, at the start of the year, if you'd have told me they're going to finish in the Cotton Bowl with only 3 losses... I'd have said, absolutely, we'll take it. But based on how it all played out, they had a shot, and it didn't pan out for them, and that's too bad. But look, I think the better team won at the end of the day.
Well, and the last point I was going to make about Washington is, of their last 6 games, 4 of them were against ranked opponents, and they went 5-1 over those 6. That keeps you in the top 4.
Yeah, you can't argue with that. And so, you know, and again, for those of you that think Michigan had a shot, they had their shot. And whether you like the way the game was officiated or not, they lost a game to a bad opponent, like you were saying about Pittsburgh with Penn State. Well, Michigan lost to Iowa, which is not a good team, at a very bad point in the season. And as we talked about yesterday with Travis's Florida State Seminoles, if you lose at the right time, you can still find your way back into it. But if you lose at the wrong time...
Yep.
Whether you like it or not, it can really hurt you, and that's what happened to a lot of teams. So I think they got it right, and it should be fun. I just don't think Alabama's going to have – I think it's going to be like a preseason game for Alabama to go through Washington. But we'll see. I mean, maybe Peterson has some things up his sleeve again, and maybe they can pull some things out against Alabama. But I really expect it – I think the better game is going to be Clemson-Ohio State.
I agree.
No. Nick, you good?
I am all good, my friend.
All right, good. Well, I'm glad everybody's in their chairs and ready to go. We got the first segment out of the way. We got some fun and games for you, as well as plenty of opportunities to talk about Demo, to talk about the Rockets, and a win last night in a game that was super tight at the end. The Texans the college football playoffs, whatever you want to talk about. 713-780-ESPN gets you in on either text message or phone call. And then if you want to hit us up on Twitter, it's at Barry is funny, at No Hit Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. And we are here till 4 o'clock, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
All right, gang, we're back. We just lost a call that we had on the college football playoffs, and maybe Yuli is just playing games with us because a lot of times during the break they take down the call and put it back up.
But
if you want to talk about
playing tricks in the bullpen,
what's the mind playing tricks on me song?
A mind playing tricks on me, Ghetto Boys.
There you go.
Good job,
your crew.
The dudes.
So some people want to talk about the college football playoffs. Josh, we see you, and you want to talk about Bill O'Brien, the Texans. Hang tight, because we're going to get you in a minute, because plenty of people want to talk about the Texans. But we were talking about before the break, the college football playoffs,
yep,
and the fact that they got it right for the most part. I think overall, the New Year's Six, they're teams that deserve to be there. I think the Rose Bowl is unbelievable. Two hottest teams in college football, maybe USC and Penn State. That's a big game. But I think I went back with Travis yesterday and said how you and I had been kicking around. What's the right number? Is it six? Is it eight? Is that the number that gets you to every team that should have at least sniffed a chance at being in the consideration for the national championship?
Mm-hmm.
And I still hold tight that eight is that number, considering that in this scenario, you take the top four that are in. I would include SC and Penn State. That's six. I think Michigan and their resume warrants enough to be seven. And then you teeter on, if you need one from the Big 12, Oklahoma maybe is eight.
Well, so did you like the bowl matchups that they came out with, the New Year's Day bowls, the Outback Bowl, the Goodyear Cotton Bowl, the Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl? Were you good with all these?
I'm okay with them. I mean, some of them, you know, they're eh to me. But I think I'm just looking for good matchups. You know, I'm looking for a game that's going to be exciting to watch. So from that standpoint, I guess I'm fairly okay with it. Like I said, I don't like, from the simple standpoint, I said they got the four right. I just don't like Washington being the four seed going up. I don't give them any chance at all against Alabama. What about you?
I mean, I think there's a chance. I certainly think all four teams are the best four teams in the nation. Mm-hmm. I don't know that anybody really truly has a chance against Alabama, to be honest with you. I think now you're just looking for who's going to give them the toughest fight. And again, like I said last second, I think that's Ohio State. So I think Alabama is going to beat Washington. I don't know what the spread is yet, but I'd be willing to...
I think it started at two touchdowns.
Yeah, I'd be willing to take whatever they give. Although, those Pac-12 teams are known for their offense. I think the one like surprise for me from the bowl games that have come up is the Orange Bowl. I was curious, and we talked about it on Sunday before they did the bowl selections. But my thought was, it was going to be Michigan, but the question was going to be, was it Florida State or maybe Louisville that was going to face Michigan in the Orange Bowl? And I thought that from a TV perspective, that they would consider putting Louisville in there.
See, the problem is that when because Louisville of Lamar fell Jackson. Off, they fell off hard
yeah,
and fast.
But you got a Heisman candidate that, as from an NCAA
Don't
brand
disagree
perspective,
with that. And I
you
was
can
the guy,
promote that.
I
heavy.
Was the guy singing his praises and saying you got to do exactly what you're saying and put him on the national stage against a big-time opponent. But then the way he fell off, everybody also was making the point, which is when you get the two-storied franchises that everybody loves, Michigan and Alabama, a lot of people thought Michigan would slide in just because that opening round game, Michigan and Alabama would be huge. I think if you don't get Michigan and Alabama, then you get Michigan and Florida State, and you get a lot of luster just because of the past history of the programs, and I think that's what they were after in terms of from a television perspective.
Yeah. U of H makes the Las Vegas, who cares,
Las Vegas Bowl against the Mountain West – which
San
is
Diego State.
San Diego State or Boise State, right? Or is it San Diego State now? Officially?
San Diego State.
Okay.
Yeah. And the Texas A&M Aggies from right here on
south
this
from the
lovely
Aggies
station.
Are going.
Yep, they're going to the Texas Bowl right here in Houston.
Now, did you hear
against Kansas State?
Whee! Did you hear that they said that had Texas won
against TCU
and Kansas? That they would have set it up to have been A&M Texas.
There's always that talk.
Regardless of how competitive a game it would have been,
damn Longhorns.
Ticket sales would have been gonzo.
Yeah, they would have sold out for sure.
Without question.
No doubt.
Tim, you've been holding on. You want to talk about the college football playoffs. What's up, man? Tim, you there? Hello, Tim.
Go for Tim. We are go for Tim.
Yep, I'm here.
All right, Tim, go ahead, buddy.
Damn it, Tim. What's up, man?
Hey, just wanted to call in. I agree with you guys. They got the right four teams in the playoff. And something that people are forgetting about when they go back to 2014, and you may have said this a few minutes ago or not, I had to get out of the car and stop listening. But Ohio State didn't get in because they were a conference champion. They got in over Baylor and TCU because they won Wisconsin 59-0. They had that one extra game to show the playoff committee what they could do.
Did you say they beat Wisconsin 59-0?
Pardon?
Did you just say they beat Wisconsin 59-0?
Yeah.
No. They beat Wisconsin last year in the Big Ten championship game. This year, it took overtime.
No, he was talking about the year that TCU and Baylor got bounced.
I'm talking about the year that everybody, that especially the Penn State people.
Oh, the Baylor TCU year. I got you. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Got in because they won the conference championship game. They didn't. If you go back and you recall, it was very much up in the air as to which of those three teams, Baylor, maybe it was TCU on Ohio State, I think is who it was in particular. And what it really came down to was not only did Ohio State win the championship game, they won it so convincingly, and had been on such a late season run since their loss to Virginia Tech, they were one of the four best teams in the country in 2014.
I'm amazed you remember all this. You a Buckeyes fan?
I am a Buckeye fan.
No, you were hiding the lead. Tim.
Thanks for the call, Tim. We appreciate it. Yeah, I finally found the rankings. Yeah, it was Alabama, Oregon, Florida State, Ohio State were your top four. All conference champions. On the outside looking in was Baylor and TCU because obviously they were the co-champions.
Right.
I don't know. And to his point, you know, he said Ohio State won the Big Ten championship 59-0, but it gave them another game against another ranked team that year in Wisconsin. And so, but that's also kind of the point. If Baylor and TCU were to have a conference championship, one of those teams beats up the other one. And now you argue who's in Ohio State or the winner of the Big 12 actual game. So, yeah, I don't know.
Go ahead, Dak, take it. Is that Damon? Damon Houston also wants to talk about the college football playoff.
Yeah. What's up, guys? This is Damon. I just hear me out for a minute. It sounds like we trying to get everybody to get a trophy type of league here that we in. This expanding the eight teams, I don't understand that. So we would be putting USC, Oklahoma. Team USC lost three games and got shellacked by USC. Shellacked by Alabama. You're trying to say that USC deserves to be in a tournament playing for a championship against Alabama?
They would be on the outside looking in if you went to eight. It would be the bottom four would be Penn State, Michigan, Oklahoma, and Wisconsin. And you know, I'm not one saying eight. I've said six at the max where you have Penn State and Michigan.
I did say eight, Damon.
But I've said six at the max. You give one and two a bye, and I would be cool with that.
But I
think it expands it a little bit.
Damon, wait, before we get off of that, let me ask you a question. Can you argue the fact that they're the hottest team in college football over the last half of the season?
But that's not the criteria. I just answer the question, though. National championship.
Because it goes back to my point last segment where you don't want to be penalized, and it's tough, but you don't want to be penalized for an early loss, which you can make up ground and come back from. It's being you hate also the fact that teams that get penalized for the one or two, the one really bad loss late when they've had a great resume too.
But it's the whole resume, though. You can't lose three games and be deserving of a shot at a national. We can't just like X out what happened in the beginning of the season.
I get it.
And that's also why I say six. If you add six, you're adding the top two lost teams in Penn State and Michigan. But here's the thing: it's not going to change anything at the end of the day this year, anyways, with Alabama. I mean, let's be honest. Now, you know, you can go back and look at other, 2014. If you had six teams, think about that now. You've got five one-loss teams and the undefeated Florida Seminoles in that playoff. So it's Alabama, Oregon, Florida State, Ohio State, Baylor, and TCU, all with one loss or less. I have no problem with that because after that, it was two or more losses through the rest of the rankings.
And here's the other thing.
So you can't go
here
and
here. Damon is making our point. The system is still flawed, and they still haven't been able to figure out a way to get it right. And until they do, we're still going to have discussions like this. No one's going to be 100% right, wrong, or indifferent. And we can make arguments for a lot of teams. But until we figure out a system in which everybody can agree, at least they got the right people involved, then we're going to continue to have these calls and these talks.
I was going to make I'll wait until the break, but I've got a point about having six teams that I think might.
There you go. Barry says six. I say eight. What do you say? Regardless of what everybody else says, everybody's got an opinion, just like everybody's got, well, other pieces of their anatomy. We've got opinions.
Shout out to Fred
o'clock.
And AJ.
So we are here. Oh, boy. Shout out to Fred and AJ, especially
and
today.
B-holes.
Yeah. Hello, Candy Camera. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, and Nick on a Tuesday, and plenty to talk about as we've already covered the college football playoffs, and we're going to switch gears in a minute, start rolling into a little bit Texans. We've got Rockets to talk about. Everybody wants to hear about Demo. I'm waiting for a response on a text message to get any more information that I can from the big fella, but I do have some opinions on that and some backstory for you that I'll get to you at the right time there. So we've got plenty to talk about, and the Astros again with the league the winter meetings, you know, in full effect. We'll talk about the big Chris Sale move today that was not with the Astros.
Yep,
and the team that got him that certain people in the studio are not happy with. So we'll touch on a lot of stuff like that. You're not a Red Sox guy.
I'm not a hater.
I love him. I know Salisbury will be like doing cartwheels.
He's you're a Red Sox lover?
Big Red Sox guy.
No, I think I hate him.
But exactly. That doesn't shock me either.
Now I have a reason to hate them. All right. Boy, you are sensitive today. No. You locked up on me there.
No,
you all right?
I'm letting you go.
No,
and then you looked at me like I'm supposed to have some sort of response to.
Who, me?
No, Joel did.
Oh. Yeah, he's not in a good he's sick. I shouldn't mess with him when he's sick.
Stop it.
You need to stop. Stop messing with him?
No, I'm just joking.
Okay.
Keep messing
good.
With him.
I will. I totally will. I totally will. We were Facebook Live right now. His faces are priceless.
He said that I looked at him. So now I'm gonna overemphasize it when I look in the glass.
Yeah, we're getting texts about the Rockets. Don't worry, Joel's gonna give you guys
we'll
the inside
scoop. I'm trying to get you some more information.
He has already texted Demo directly.
Several times.
And then, you know, if you're gonna get the best insight, it's obviously gonna come from Joel.
It just has to take a little time sometimes. Yeah. I can't get the guy to respond unless he
settle down. Dr. Dre on 290 wants to know.
And Dre, by the way,
Chris Davis wants to know.
Both guys are loyal guys and also big-time Rockets fans, and we were tweeting about some stuff last night. I'm definitely going to get to you guys on some other issues that you were bringing up last night, but at the same time, look, I'm trying to get you the most accurate information I can, and I can give you some backstory, even if I don't get that, but at the appropriate time.
Yeah, and somebody texted in and said it should be eight teams. It would make for some great games, and finally a champ will be decided on the field. I said six, and the reason I said six, if you think about it, if you look back to that year in 2014, Baylor and TCU would have been included in that, and you could have kind of – you would have been able to figure out – that would have also been all of the one-loss or no-loss teams in the playoffs that year. And then the following year, last year, if you had six teams, you would have had Stanford included in there at two losses. Ohio State would have actually gotten bumped at seven. But I guarantee you the committee might have viewed that a little bit different if it was a 16 playoff. You might have seen Ohio State moved up to six and Stanford dropped to seven, which would have included, again, all of the one-loss teams in the NCAA along with the undefeated Clemson Tigers last year if it were six. And I say all the one-loss teams except for U of H. They were a one-loss team last year, but they were like 18.
Right.
And then this year, what you would get, which I think would be interesting, you would again get a matchup if you expand it to six teams. The playoff field, the first round would be Washington versus Penn State, which I think would be a good
great
matchup.
Game. Yeah, I like that.
But the other matchup would be Ohio State versus Michigan. And remember how close
would love that.
Remember how close this game was played and the controversy involved in it. How cool would that be if they get to play it again? And this time, the winner moves on in the playoffs.
Yep.
And it's on a neutral field now. So Michigan can't say, well, we were on the road. Look what we did. Hey, it's neutral field, and you get to decide who's the best between Ohio State and Michigan all over again. So I think that would be cool. Again, I think eight might be too many because then you start expanding down. You really start getting into the depth of the two lost teams. I think six is perfect because you also – it also makes getting one or two that much more important because you get a bye. You would Without get a question. Bye in the first round but and get to that, rest, and I think that would be critical too.
But I think that the argument that was just made is exactly why I think there should be eight teams, and I agree with you that the first two get a bye, they can rest up a little bit. But because the other thing I want to eliminate is teams that are on fire right now, and then they got to wait over a month, month and a half before they before they play their final game, or a month, month's time. Too much downtime. You got to still continue to stay in game mode.
Yeah.
And I hate seeing a team that's had a great year and then had like 30 days before their next game trying to stay sharp and then just get waxed right away in the first quarter too. So I'm with you. I mean, those matchups right there would be compelling.
Yep.
They would bring TV ratings.
It'd be fun.
And there's no doubt you would be able to decipher. No one would get screwed over, and you'd be able to clearly decipher who the best team is.
Yeah, I think over the last 3 years, the case for six is as strong as the case for four, for sure. Because again, 2014, you would include Baylor and TCU in the playoffs, all of the one-loss teams except for U of H. The same thing, that would be 2015, 2016. You would include all the one-loss teams again. And then again, this year, you'd have a couple of two-loss teams, but I think deserved teams that will fare well in the playoffs. Because that's the concern. You don't want to go too deep, and then you get a bunch of teams that, like the caller said earlier, I think it was Tim.
Yep.
That said, yeah, now everyone's getting a trophy. No, as long as these teams are good, because, you can make a case for Michigan or Penn State with as much chance to beat Alabama as Washington, as the Washington Huskies has. So it's not like you're lessening the pool of talent in the top four.
I thought you were going to kibosh that because you've collected more than your fair share of thanks for being a competitor trophies over the years, and that would have been something that everybody should get.
You know, I'll never forget how proud I was the first time I got a participation ribbon, and it was in a bike race in my neighborhood, and I was like 6 years old, 5 years old. And
did you have a trike or training wheels?
No, it was a regular bike. I was a man at an early age.
Yeah.
And
you slowed down and life caught up later.
It was this blue participation ribbon that I hung on my wall. I maybe took it down like 19, 20. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. I had it for a really long time. I was so proud of that participation ribbon, though.
Did they tell you what place you got? I mean, were you like 67th? Or
dude, there was only like 14 kids. There was only like 14 kids in the neighborhood, and I think I got passed by one of the like 9-year-old girls running. So it wasn't good. It wasn't pretty. But I was very proud of it. That ribbon mattered.
Well, okay.
So, anyways.
So I digress. As we transition from college football to Texans, Josh, you've been waiting, appreciate it. You want to talk about Bill O'Brien and the Texans?
We are Gopher
Josh. Hey now, Josh. Josh going once.
Josh, surely you didn't hang around this long for
Josh,
that.
Josh, you've been hanging forever and now all of a sudden you're not there.
Sorry, Josh. Call back. We'll take your call again.
You know, Barry, I didn't get your thoughts yesterday. Obviously, Travis was here and had more than enough opinions for what happened and why. What were Travis's thoughts?
Was he angry at the product on the field?
It's interesting
because he should be.
He was. I was looking for who to blame.
Yeah,
and he was saying that it's the player's fault for not being able to execute and perform on the field. So the coaching staff and general manager get a pass, in essence. And that the players have to play. And I said, but don't they pick the players and put them on the field? And if they realize they're not going to be that kind of guy that's going to be able to do what they need to do to be ready to play, then you got to get other players.
I think the blame is like government cheese. There's enough for everybody.
Yeah, and we can get into that in a whole lot more. And evidently, you guys still want to talk college football playoffs. So
we can do that too.
We're here till 4 o'clock. We've got plenty of time for you guys. And we want to talk about what you want to talk about. He's Barry. I'm Joel. Behind the glass is Nick. And we're here till 4 ESPN 97.5. Yeah.
97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
All right, Barry, before we lose this guy again, We'll give him take two.
Oh, Josh, I don't know.
Josh is there with
an
0-1 count, and he can't catch up with the heater. We're going to give him another try. Josh, you're on. Go.
Yeah, sorry, man. My phone keeps dropping the calls. Anyway, I heard your argument yesterday.
Josh, are you outside, bro?
Yeah, get out of the wind, Josh.
Yeah, you're like, all we can hear is the wind blowing. Can you get in your
car? Can you hear me now?
There you go.
Very good. Go ahead.
Sorry, I had that AC on.
All right, go.
Argument about Bill O'Brien and the Texans.
Yep.
I agree with you as far as the coaching staff. I mean, come on, man. You want to consistently run it on third and long. Why do you do that?
Yep.
Bill O'Brien needs, I'm sorry, but Bill O'Brien needs an offensive coordinator. And as far as Brock Osweiler, y'all just, the Texans just need to get a new quarterback. I'm sorry.
I would agree with you on getting an OC. I definitely agree with you on that.
A real OC.
I'm going to go ahead and hang up and let y'all get to it and hear y'all out again.
Okay. Appreciate it, Josh. Thanks. I was trying to fill Barry in the conversations we had yesterday where Travis was basically talking about the fact that the players are still responsible for executing on the field. And I kept saying, look, I'm not trying to place the blame in one area and one area only. But if the coaching staff has shown that they don't have a system in place for throwing the red flag, when to throw it, on what play to throw it on, and to make sure that you're aware of when there are plays that it needs to be thrown on, that's one issue. Then you start talking about the fact that if you could say this happens every once a year or twice a year where they just crap the bed or they have a bad offensive day or they're conservative and they're predictable offensively, you can say these things happen. But the fact that it's the same predictability, the same conservativeness, and it's the same body of work for three straight years, you got to put it on the coaching staff and then the general manager. And to Travis's point, if it is the players and the players are not executing and the players are not doing what needs to be done on their own time to adequately prepare based on the CBA rules and the amount of time they can practice, then you get different players. And if you don't get the different players, then again, that's the responsibility of the talent evaluating and the general manager. So overall, I said this all along, and I stick to it. Rick Smith and Bill O'Brien, it's getting like a broken record. It's 3 years of the same stuff, and it's got to change.
As far as the players go, I mean, just speaking offensively on the offensive side of the ball, I think it comes down to one guy. It comes down to the fact that Brock Osweiler is inept right now at quarterback. And that leads to – now, you can talk about the offensive line and whether they could do a better job of protecting him. But I think the last time we looked at stats, I don't know if it was you and me or Shock, but we were looking at, like, sacks. The Texans had given up the 8th fewest sacks in the NFL. Yep. So to sit here and chastise the offensive line week in and week out, I think is unfair. I think it all comes down to Brock Osweiler. He's highly inaccurate. He's not a good quarterback. And if defenses don't have to respect the pass, then they can load up on the run, and Lamar Miller has no chance now. Nor does your offensive line.
Well, you saw that. But here's the thing. That's what I was trying to stress to Travis, too. And by the way, Josh, to your point, if they could get rid of him right now, I think that they would, even though they'd have to admit they were wrong. But he's got a year at a large cap figure that ain't going anywhere, and you can't have dead cap money in the neighborhood of 17 to 19 mil. He's got to come back for one more year, so you can't just get rid of him. But to your point, the fact that they were so predictably conservative, Miller, who already came in with dinged up ribs, took some big-time shots in the first quarter because Dom Capers just zeroed in and go, I've seen this movie before, and I know what they're going to do. And before Miller could even get one step after getting the ball from Brock, he was getting hammered every which way but loose.
Yeah. And then Richard tweets, and don't forget our patented bubble screen on third and long. Oh, my God. I don't know what the deal is with the AFC South and play calls, but last night I'm watching the Colts. It was second and like 300. Literally, it was like second and 32, and they run the ball. I was like, what? You have Andrew Luck. I get if you have Brock Osweiler, right, right. You go, here, Miller, please do something with it. I don't know.
See, at first I thought, look, maybe he's you know, he's choosing these plays only because he's only limited with it. He's limited with his quarterback. He can only give Brock so many plays. But then why would he do something like, why would you run at second and super long?
Yeah.
Bill O'Brien is guilty of that too.
Yeah, exactly. And well, the other thing is if you watch the game and listen to the whatever the national broadcast was, at one point, I think coming back from halftime, whoever the sideline reporter was, said that Bill O'Brien made the comment that they have got to take more shots down the field.
It was Tracy Wolfson, I believe.
Yeah.
CBS, it was Sims and Nance, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. You know what? How about you just take some shots medium? Yeah. I mean, he can't even hit Andre Johnson 15 yards down the field across the middle. He's throwing that ball. Everyone got mad that Dre dropped that ball. That ball was behind him. Go back and look. That was not a good throw.
He didn't lead him into it. Right.
No.
But here's the other thing I had to say.
He can't even be accurate medium.
When we talk about the offensive coordinator, well, a smart offensive coordinator says, for as limited as this guy has proven to be, in the second half, they started moving the football. Why? Because you took the element of thinking and reading the defense out of it. They started going up-tempo. They moved quickly. They were going in and out of plays fast. It was not like there were six different reads to make and how many different options he had. It was quick hit, quick go. Let's keep it going. Fast pace, fast pace. Had the Packers on their heels. He was completing that 15 to 17-yard range and then mixing in some other things in between. And they were moving it. That's what you should, as an offensive coordinator, you should go, you know what? This is the way we maximize what we have more than any other way. We've got to do this on a consistent basis. And they just stopped doing it.
They had one good drive, the Ryan Griffin touchdown.
Yep.
That lasted seven and a half. The Hopkins deal ended
with a fluky play, just like the Jordy Nelson touchdown.
Yeah, that was when I think Nick texted us and was like, you still would take Osweiler?
Yeah, he mentioned it. Yes, Let me tell you what.
That was a poorly underthrown ball. If he throws the ball like he should have, it's probably incomplete.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is he was so underthrown. Hopkins is standing still when he catches it and just happens to put a move on the two defenders that he had split.
Like, because of the snow, I thought he was going to make the Olympic logo. With all the rings he had to run underneath the ball before he got it and then went to the end zone.
Yeah, Brock Osweiler should get very little credit for that touchdown pass. I mean, it was a poorly thrown ball, to be honest
with you. Just like Charles James. And Travis was on the fact that he thought the offensive line really played bad yesterday. And I know that O'Brien blamed the protection on offense when the offensive line. He blamed the line as well. And then he blamed special teams. But the fact of the matter is, Charles James slipped and fell on a snowy, wet, gooey field, and he's going to be the scapegoat that takes the blame. And by the way, he shouldn't have been. He's a special teams guy that was trying to fill in at corner for a depleted secondary that lost Jonathan Joseph during the course of a game. And he's going to be the guy? Come on.
I agree. And, you know, it's funny because I have some friends at the Houston Texans facility.
Friends?
Yeah.
And really?
I'm not going to name names, but I got some hidden audio.
Ooh.
Tell
me more, spicy
man. There may have been a microphone planted in Rick Smith's office when they cut Charles James. So, Dick, do you have the audio? Let's go ahead and hear that.
Did you just call him Dick?
No, Nick.
No, you just called me Dick.
Yeah, you did.
I meant to say, do you have the
Dick.
Audio?
And it came out. Hey, run the audio, Dick.
All right, this is Rick Smith and Charles James.
Hey, Rick, you wanted to see me?
Yeah, have a seat, Charles. Charles, yesterday was a tough loss for us, and we have to do something about it so that the fans and the media think we know what we're doing.
I understand, Rick. The whole team is behind you. If you have to cut Brock, you just have to cut him. Just do what's best for the team.
What? No. No, I can't do that. I'm not cutting him. I'm cutting you.
Why?
You fell down. We just can't have people falling down.
Rick, there was ice on the field, man. Ice!
Look, we have a way that we want our cornerbacks to play. You can't go out there turning around to find the ball when you're covering people. That's not how we do things. You also can't slip. That's just a no-no.
It was an accident, man.
Doesn't matter. Besides, it seems you've forgotten about your no-slip clause in your contract.
The what?
Yeah, it's a thing. Listen, truth be told, now that Hard Knocks is gone, we really don't have a reason to keep you.
I don't know what to say. I'm stunned.
I know, I'm sorry, but here, I got you a present. A parting gift, if you will.
Oh, socks. How nice. What's on them? Are these goats?
Yeah, but not just any goats. Those are scapegoats.
Huh?
Yeah, that's leaked audio. That we broke that, by the way. Nationally, it's probably going to get some run, but we broke that. It's really sad.
Stuff.
It's really sad to hear how that went down. I mean, he did slip, and I had no idea there were no slip clauses in contracts. By the way,
on Dances with the Stars, there's a no slip clause.
Did you notice Charles James's voice sounded oddly like the son? And remember the Best Cry Ever? Remember we played that on the show?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Play it like somewhere in the middle there. He sounds like the Best Cry Ever. Play that part, and then play the son from the Best Cry Ever.
somewhere deep down in my heart.
That sounds, that's Charles James.
I still love you.
I don't know what to say. I'm stunned.
That's the same guy.
That's pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I want to hear the cry. Do we have the cry?
No.
This always gets buried to just like Snagglepuss lose it, right? Like
this
that.
Is literally every Texans fan on Monday.
Every Monday.
Every Monday. This is Texans fan.
Except for Tuesday after the Mexico City game.
That's true. That's
but
very
you know
true.
What the thing is, too? Look, and Charles James.
I mean, why the hell?
Used to be a really stellar special teams player. I get it. He's committed some penalties this year and also, you know, not been his normal self. But, you know, at this point in the season, and as much as this guy. Look, you sell his sock line and his hat line in the team store at NRG.
Yeah.
And you're kicking him to the curb.
It's hilarious to me that you make Charles James the scapegoat because he fell down on an icy field. But you have no intentions of holding Brock Osweiler accountable for his
Between
poor play.
Rick Smith
or anyone else
and
that played
Bill O'Brien,
poorly.
You have 20 fingers that you can point, and that might not be enough to point all the fingers you could point at different people you wanted to blame for the way they've been playing and how bad they played Sunday.
You cut a cornerback who's fifth on the depth chart.
Right.
And that makes you feel better, I guess. And then you go out, and then in the most Texans thing I've ever seen, you go out and you get the Pittsburgh Steelers cornerback off their practice squad that they waived so that they could sign Randy Bullock. That's the most Texans thing I've ever seen in my whole life.
And the thing is, you say he was fifth on the depth chart. Well, 1, 2, and 3 are hurt and dinged up,
exactly.
Even though Kareem is still playing. So you're not exactly helping yourself from a point where you're already weak. It's not you're not coming from a point of strength. A weakness is all now even a bigger weakness. And so,
yep.
The world turns, it continues to spin on Kirby, and it's spinning in a downward spiral. As we talked about, and Keenan McCardell, can't wait to have him tomorrow to try and back up the fact that they're going 4-1 in their last 5. Because after dropping that one, they got to run the table. And after watching Indianapolis last night, not sure that's going to happen either. And they're in a dogfight for the division. The big thing about what's wrong with this picture as opposed to years past, even though everything seems the same, there's no guarantee they win the division this year or get in the playoffs. And that's an even bigger problem for Texans fans. So we want to talk to you if you want to chime in. We got Rockets questions, college football questions. We got people who still want to talk about the Texans. And we've got till 4 o'clock to do it. So we'll get all that and more going on what is already turning out to a big show because of the theatrics that we've already experienced. And we're not even through hour number one, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.